A step forward, a step back, depends on who you want to believe. There were plenty of reports and tweets from yesterday's joint practice. This from the Patriots side. Quote, Patriots won the day Mike Vrabel was in a scrum. Drake May carved up Washington's defense. DeMario Douglas was unguardable. He's a wide receiver for New England. Alex Austin, he's a corner, continues to stack strong days. Also from the New England side. Quote, the Commanders came in here today and they were not the better football team. Closed quote. From our side, if a score was kept, wouldn't have been close. O-line was dominant. Pass rush already improved. JD to Ertz, unstoppable. JP wrote, I get the Pats aren't the 85 Bears, but the Commanders O-line has looked terrific. Wiley and Connerly playing well. Tunsil, dominant. So there you go. Could be that some of, if not most of, what I just read is accurate. I guarantee you the coaches know exactly what worked and what didn't, what to be concerned about and what not to be concerned about. I wonder what our coaching staff is concerned about really the first big reveal of this preseason. Good morning, everybody. Ben was there, as in Standig. He'll join us at 12. This from Josiah to open up the show. Kevin, Pauly was right. Your poll results were a result of fatigue, Terry fatigue. When something goes on as long as this has, fans get tired of it. Did a lot of calls yesterday on the show, revisited what we had talked about 2 weeks ago, and that is, you know, whose side are you on in this Terry versus team standoff? 2 weeks ago, the results were 50-50, which were surprising to me. Yesterday, a lot of the calls I thought skewed Team Terry, but 1,700-plus votes, and still open to be voted on if you want at Kevin Sheehan DC. Team front office, 69.5%, and Team Terry, 30.5%. This from P. Parker. Sheehan, I'm exhausted. Enough about Terry. We have Jaden. That's all we need. And then from Woody, Kevin, I'm tired of Terry talk, but I do have one question. How many games would the team have won if Terry wasn't around last year? I've got 9 and no playoffs. So real quickly, back to what Josiah wrote. You know, the poll results, as Pauly said, Pauly was our last caller. Pauly tends to be the last caller. For some reason, maybe I'm doing it intentionally so that I can say, hey, we got to get to a break. No, I actually love Pauly. He's one of my all-time favorite callers. But Pauly was on at the end of the show yesterday and said, you know, your poll is skewing towards, you know, reflecting fatigue. You know, that's why it's changed here over the last 2 weeks. Now, what Josiah wrote really doesn't indicate who the fatigue favors. What it clearly shows is that fatigue of this situation favors the team. Now, is that going to play into how this thing gets resolved? I don't know. Is that part of Adam Peters and the 49er strategy of kind of waiting things out? Especially when you have the leverage. I mean, when you've got all of the leverage, you don't have to pull the trigger quickly. And they have all of the leverage. And unless there's recognition that, hey, man, I don't have much leverage as the player and as the agent, let's just get this thing done, then you're kind of at odds, which is where they are right now. I do agree. I will say this. The subject itself, it does get tiring. It doesn't make it any less provocative. It doesn't make it any less, you know, emotional or coming with strong opinions. But I think there is a desire to get this behind us. And look, I think everybody who's a fan of this team wants it to end. I want it to end. I want Terry in camp practicing. I don't want him joining the team on the Wednesday before the opener against the Giants for the first full practice. You know, I don't want to go into that week saying, will he or won't he? And then we get the reports, Terry is out there for practice in the first full practice getting ready for the Giants opener on Sunday. Because I do think there's a 9 in 10 chance he's going to play in the opener. He's got to play this year. Could he hold out a game or two? 10% chance. But more likely than not, he will be there for the opener. But I don't want it to come so close to the opener, because I do have this sense, without having all of the data to support this, but I do have this sense that when players report after a long, drawn-out holdout, hold-in, whatever you want to call it, request for trade, all of it, all of this drama, and they don't start practicing until very late in camp, it seems like things are off-kilter. There seems to be an increased possibility of an injury. So I'd like it to end sooner rather than later. As I've said all along, I hope it ends with Terry getting a contract extension. And I hope that contract extension is a fair contract extension for both parties. That Terry views it as, okay, I got them to a point in which I can accept it. And the team says, you know what, we went to a point in which we can deal with the result. Let's wrap it up and move on. And for those of you that would say, and there were a couple of callers yesterday, and I think there's some merit to this. If you kind of know what you're both willing to settle for, why can't you get there quickly? Well, the answer to that would be, if the gap is so far and the number that Terry would be willing to settle for and the number that the team would be willing to offer is still significantly far apart, that's where you end up with can't get it done quickly. Deadlines make deals. The first deadline was training camp. The next one will be the season opener. I hope we don't have to wait until then. If we do and a deal doesn't get done, keep this in mind. You know, he's got to play. He's got to play this year. I got this from Remy yesterday. Remy wrote, Kevin, on Terry, go ahead and F around and find out. Tell me all you want about his age, his place on the top 10 wide receiver list, but if the team Fs around any longer, they'll find out the truth. The truth being, he was a valuable piece of their 2024 puzzle. He's poised to be even more valuable in 2025. He's the, in all capital letters, deep threat that allowed the offense to be explosive last year. Without it, the offense might be efficient, but it won't be explosive. He led the league in contested catches, and he was clutch. I'm not arguing that he is Justin Jefferson, but he's the best we have, and it's too late to replace him for a season that you have called the first Super Bowl window season in forever. This is getting ridiculous. Sometimes you have to overpay talent, especially when you have a chance to land the big fish. The big fish is waiting in Santa Clara waters. Santa Clara is where the Super Bowl is next February. Yeah, look, I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face. We have to keep reality at least side by side with this conversation. You can't talk in terms of he's going to play or he's not going to play. He's going to play for us. He's under contract. So when you say go ahead and F around and find out what? He's not going anywhere. He's got to play this year. He has to. That's part of the reason the team doesn't have to worry about finding out. He's under contract. He is all of those things, Remy, that you described. He is. And because of those things, the team needs him. They do. But they have him under contract. The third year of the extension that he signed 3 years ago. So this is why they're not effing around and they're not going to find out anything. Now, if you believe that he's going to come in and he's not going to risk it because there's 1 year left on his deal and he didn't get what he wanted, then you haven't paid attention to Terry McLaurin. He is the ultimate pro's pro. He's the ultimate competitor. You know, I think Paulie or somebody else pointed out, well, T. Higgins took games off during his franchise tag year. T. Higgins was 25 years old, 26 years old. Terry's 30, okay, going to be 30. This is a massive year for him. If he doesn't get his last big deal over the next few weeks, he's going to have one more chance to get that last big deal. And that's going to be following the 2025 season, and it's going to have to be a really good season like he had last year. He can't go out and miss five games for, you know, a toe injury, you know, or an ankle like he's got right now. That's not going to happen. I just don't see that happening. Once a competitor and a pro's pro like Terry McLaurin reports and is ready to play the regular season, you're going to get the best he has. 17 is going to give you the best for 17 games. Why? Because that's his MO. Secondly, it benefits him not performing at the highest level, not being available week in and week out, hurts his chance to get a big deal. By the way, it would hurt his chance to get a franchise tag. You know, we keep talking about the franchise tag in 2026. The team could, you know, pay him the $15.5 million in base salary plus whatever the roster bonus would be, a couple of million bucks this year, and then pay him a franchise tag, $44-plus million 2 years, cheaper than signing him to a long-term extension now with no money up front. You're paying as you go, right? So benefit to the team. But we keep assuming that if they don't get a deal done and he plays out this final year of his deal, well, the team, if they can't get a deal done next year, will just slap the franchise tag on him. Well, that assumes that he has a big year. If he doesn't have a big year, they may not use the franchise tag on him. They may let him get to free agency. So I wouldn't put the odds in that camp. I would certainly say that the best odds are if they don't sign him to a contract extension, he plays this year, he'll play well because he's a good player, and the team is a good offensive football team, and the presence of somebody like Deebo Samuel may actually really benefit Terry. They'll actually benefit, you know, they'll make each other better, not to mention year two of the offense, year two of this quarterback. I mean, there's a lot that Terry's going to benefit from, and there's a lot that he's going to impact positively for everybody else being out there. So I don't expect 2025 to be an off year that would have us doing call segments as to whether or not they should use the franchise tag on Terry if they can't get a longer term deal done. But the big difference between somebody like T. Higgins and Terry McLaurin, age and probably overall professionalism. So, Remy, when you say go ahead and F around and find out, I just want to remind everybody when we're having these conversations, this isn't a he's not going to play for us or he's going to play for us. If we don't get him signed to a deal, he's not going to play for us. He's playing. He's under contract. It's that simple. So this time of the summer, and I have it in my phone every year, it's one of those reminders before the first preseason game. I think I've done this for several years. It's kind of a check where everybody is on this team. And I always kind of present it the same way. And that is, if you're somewhere where you're with, you know, a friend or a group of friends who know how diehard you are, you're a massive Washington fan, and they're not. And this time of year, there's a conversation that goes like, so, what's your team going to do this year? How good's your team? What's your team got this year? And you describe to that person how you feel about the team right now entering the 2025 season. What do you say? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What's really interesting is this is the first time in a long, long time I'm sure that after 2012, although there was a lot of question, you know, a lot of questions around RG3's health, maybe after 2015 or even 2016, you know, there was some optimism. But this is going to be the first time for me where I'm going to be very optimistic in my answer. Somebody, and by the way, I get asked this all the time, sometimes by fans, but when they're not fans of the team, you got to get into a description, right, of what your team's going to be this year. So I want to hear what you would say to that guy that says, what's your team going to do this year? You know, and describe it. You can talk about they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to win the division, they're a Super Bowl contender. Offensively, they're this. Defensively, they added this. Give me your description and how you would handle that question. It just is a gauge to see where we are right now. It'll be the most optimistic, I think, response we've had in a long time. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Somebody comes up to you, knows you're a big fan of the team, and says, what's your team going to be this year? What do you say? Take calls on that. I'll give you my answer. Max will give you his answer when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.